Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome back to the show. My name is Noel.
Our colleague Matt is on adventures, but shall be returning soon. They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codename Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's the top of the week. A lot of things have been happening. Good, bad, horrifying, joyful. Today, we're going to talk about some corporate corruption in the world of meatpacking. We're also going to talk about a very interesting statement by a person in the land of our neighbors to the north, the beautiful land of Canada. And we're going to talk about you, specifically you, maybe, Noel. Have you started to, we talked about this a little bit off air with Doc Holliday. Have you ever thought that as you age, have you ever thought of doing kind of edgy or experimental medical treatment to lose a few years or to maintain your health? I don't know if we're there yet, age-wise.
You mean like implants? Like body, like hardcore body modification? Like tattoo my eyeballs black?
Well, no. Maybe if that had health benefits. I'm thinking stuff
oh,
like...
Oh, health benefits. No. Yeah. Just exclusively kinky stuff for me. No, I would. I think I know what you're angling at, though, buddy. You're talking about a certain type of transplant, huh?
Well, yeah. My segue was going to be the idea that we talked earlier. I'm still baffled by this, about plasma transfusions, giving the blood of the young to the older, well-to-do, with the idea that it does have medical benefits. But yes, our first story is about something slightly different. It is about a transplant. That's correct. It is about a poop transplant. That's right. We thought we'd open with some good news, kind of gross news, but good news.
Ben, before we dig, I don't know why, that's not necessarily inherently a gross pun, digging, but my mind just goes places. What is there between an infusion, a transfusion, or a transplant? I mean, poop is obviously, let's call it, if we were talking in the parlance of like video games, poop is a consumable sort. Well, it's kind of the opposite. It's kind of the opposite of a consumable. But like blood, you know, you have blood in your body. you can remove it. You know, it's sort of liquidy. It's in a state that would, you know, be able to be injected or infused, you know. Is poop kind of like that? Like, why do they call it a transplant when they don't call plasma a transplant or blood a transplant? They call those infusions or transfusions.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a good question. So an infusion is a different thing being put into something. A transfusion is the same substance from an outside source. So that's why you get a blood transfusion. It's still like type O negative or something, which is not a bad band. And then a transfusion is given intravascularly, right, through your blood system. But a transplant is, you know, you're opened up and it's put inside you. So it is an interesting question. For this story, I was excited to find some actual science behind something I talked about in a previous. I was either an actual episode or was a strange news segment with the idea that you can take your gut biome, you can take someone else's gut biome or a sample thereof, you can put it into another person's body and it can have health benefits. I think we first remember this with a story out of Japan, I believe it was, right? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And then I'm sorry not to dwell too much, and then I'll certainly allow you to move on. But like, your body makes new poop, right? I could get a liver transplanted. I only have one liver. My body's not going to make another one. I'm getting someone else's liver in place of my liver. But I mean, a poop transplant is, I mean, it's just temporary, right? Like, I mean, how does it like live there within you forever if poop is constantly circulating in and out of your system?
Yeah. The fancy name is a fecal microbiota transplantation, or FMT. Mm. And this works because, you know, actually, if you're human, a lot of your solid waste is bacteria, is like dead bacteria. What happens with the transplant is that they're moving not just straight up poop, but they're moving gut microbes that live in your body or live in someone else's body to the other person. And those gut microbes have a real and profound, still not fully understood, effect on the human body. You could almost say that your body, again, if you're human, is a conspiracy of very, very small things. You actually have many more bacterial cells in what you call your body than you do human cells, because human cells are much larger. Please, for a trippy look at this, check out my earlier brain stuff video on how farts work. Sorry, it's weird. But the gut microbes also responsible for a lot of the gas that humans expel at a rate of 17 to 23 times a day, every 24 hours. This research has been a while in coming. I want to check out Biospace. Brandon May did a great write-up of this. Back in August of 2021, a study came out that showed you could take gut microbes found in the feces of young mice, you could put them in older mice, and it would reverse age-related decline in those older mice, kind of stuff that you wouldn't expect. Like you would maybe say, okay, what if they had some mouse version of inflammatory bowel stuff, IBS? Well, they would, sure, that could change. But what was startling is that the older mice started to exhibit changes in their brains. Like they started thinking better. Their hippocampus began to resemble the hippocampus of a young mouse, physically and chemically. That's important because the hippocampus plays a big role in memory and learning. They saw the older mice start to solve mazes much faster, and they were able to remember the mazes better. This didn't happen in the old mice that weren't, you know, running off young poop. And it seems that this confirms earlier studies, including stuff about diabetes.
So it's pointing to a deficiency in the gut biome of the recipient that is inherent to age, or is it something that just some people experience in the same way some people might have cognitive decline over time?
Yeah, it's fascinating because that's what I mean with not yet fully understood. We know that some clear effects. We know that your gut biome, think of it as an ecosystem all its own, the same way that there are biomes in the natural world. your gut inside of you right now, there's this whole circle of life thing going on every time you eat a quesadilla and or whatever your favorite thing is. And when they looked at this, what they found was diet can affect these things. You know, the state of maybe the water you ingest or environmental factors. But age must play a role. And we know this not just because of that 2021 study, but a new study that came out in Science News from the University of East Anglia, Fecal Transplants Reverse Halls of Aging. This is from May of this year. This is even more interesting because they did a reverse experiment. They did the kind of thing you probably can't legally do with humans at this point. They took microbes from older mice and put them in younger mice. And they saw that this started inflaming the brains of the younger mice, and it appeared to deplete a key protein required for good vision. So gut microbes maybe play a role in regulating age-related decline, not just in the body, but in the mind, which leads me to ask, you know, us, like Noel, Doc, fellow conspiracy realists, at what price would you extend your quality of life? Would you take a poop transplant? You know, in a few years, it'll probably be possible. Would you take a poop transplant if it meant that you would, you know, be a little sharper in your later years? You would have better memory, might have better vision. I mean, what would you? It seems like kind of a no-brainer. I just wouldn't want to meet the donor.
Well, what's the process, though? Like, do they have to cut you open? Or are they able to do it all through like some kind of turkey baster situation?
In these studies, they just use kind of the phrase transfer. And I know that they had a specific process so that they could reliably reproduce the results. But I think with humans, what we're going to see happen is that first, this is going to roll out for the older, well-to-do who are obsessed with maintaining some semblance of youth, which means that it's going to evolve a couple of different things. Like, you know, it could be possible simply to take a pill that doesn't taste like poop or, you know, whatever the donor was eating. And maybe that with some kind of liquid starting thing that you drink. I don't know, but it would have to make it through the stomach, which has is a pretty hostile environment. So maybe they...
Yeah, it can break things down.
Right.
It breaks, you know, it's got to be resilient enough for it not to be rendered like inert by all those stomach acids and things like that, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So right now, the science is too early for there to be a full like guide to how to do this, but there are some evidence-based consensus things that people have arrived at. Usually, if you are a human poop donor, I should say this has happened with people. Usually, if you're a human poop donor, they're going to go with a close relative for the first treatment just because they are easy to screen because they're, a lot of their information is going to be similar to the donee. But in some cases, you don't want family members or intimate contacts because they might carry whatever is causing your problem, right? There are no lab standards that are agreed on for this point. So we don't know if the size of the sample needs to be 30 grams or 100 grams of fecal material for it to be effective. We know that it gets diluted with normal saline or sometimes 4% milk, which really grosses me out.
Then 4%? Like there's like 2%? And then there's whole milk, and then somewhere in between there's 4%?
You know, it's lab milk. Let's just call it lab milk.
Got it. And Ben, just really quickly, if I could add, like, I think it looks like they use endoscopy equipment for this.
Nasogastric intubation. So that's the tube that goes up the nose and then down the throat and into the stomach. And then there's the other... its close cousin is orogastric intubation, which is putting the hose down your mouth. But I think they're going through the nose for a lot of these so far. The idea is just fascinating because this is going to be possibly a stinky wave of the future. So if we put it crassly, the question then, fellow listeners, becomes, would you put poop up your nose, however diluted or prepared, to have a better quality of life? I think most people would say yes.
But I think that's the calculation that I was doing when you asked that question, is why I've been leaning so hard into how it's done, because I've never been under the knife before. I've never broken a bone. The idea, I've got big time body horror, you know, phobia type stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would be much more likely to do it if it wasn't invasive. The nose thing really freaks me out. There's some movies they've done that in, like Requiem for a Dream, that really gave me some nightmare fuel. I think the endoscopy version, if that's a thing, I'd be more okay with.
Mm-hmm. And this is weird, because these studies are overall a good thing, but they're making it sound a little newer than it is. MIT has had a public stool bank. That's right. Beep me here, Doc. A public bank in the United States since 2012. And also, if you look back through history, the very first use of donor feces as a medical treatment, or attempted medical treatment, purported medical treatment, I should say, dates back to the 4th century. 4th, not 14th. Yeah, Chinese physician Hong Ji wrote a book called Handbook of Emergency Medicine. And then 1,200 years after him, another guy in China in the Ming Dynasty named Li Shizhen used yellow soup, that's what he called it, or golden syrup, which had fresh, dry, or fermented stool to treat stomach issues. And that just had to be straight up guzzled by the patient. Right now, as we wrap, we're going to move to our next story. But you currently cannot get a stool transplant for yourself in most parts of the world unless you enroll in a transplant study. So that's the way you go forward. Let us know if you've had one.
You know, just to add on the last thing you said about how it's been around longer than many people realize, I certainly had no idea it went that far back. But when I was Googling furiously trying to figure out, you know, how they put the stuff in you, I came up with an article from WebMD from 2005 by Brenda Goodman called "The Rise of Do-It-Yourself Fecal Transplants."
Yeah, I would say stay away from that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Just saying, you know, it's been a little bit. I remember, like, when I first started working for How Stuff Works back in the day, like, you know, this is a topic that Stuff to Blow Your Mind covered many, many years ago. So this has definitely been in the conversation for quite some time. But there's new information coming out about it with these studies that, like, you're referencing every day. So it's interesting. Definitely looking to keep an eye on it when I get older. Maybe I'll get one myself. Hey, they should know more by
maybe
then.
It'll be possible to increase quality of life or physical and cognitive abilities for people who aren't suffering age-related decline one day in the future. There's a great documentary about this called Designer Documentary. I highly recommend it. Before we go to commercial, let me give you a brief look, folks, at some of the things they say you need to know before you try to get a fecal transplant. First, best practice by a medical professional. It hasn't been fully explored. Also, people aren't super sure how it works. We're messing with stuff we don't fully understand, because the human genome has proven very difficult to crack. Now you have to talk about unlocking the genetic makeup of millions of microbes in the human body. We don't even know how many different kinds of microbes exist. There's no idea about long-term effects. The donor effect is still not yet known fully. We do know treatment might be more effective at earlier stages. So please, 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 if you have had one of these, write to us, conspiracy@iheartmedia.com. Call us 1-833-STDWYTK. And if you are for it or against it, let us know why. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, our commercial donor, if we're talking transplants. And we'll be back. I think we're traveling up north.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back with another piece of strange news. This one I found on Vice World News, and it is a
another poop story. All right.
Yeah, it's its own kind. Yeah, it's definitely pretty grimy. But this one is from Canada, and I never really thought of Canada as being necessarily swept up in all of this stuff, considering that it revolves around, you know, a president of these United States, and not, you know, anything directly to do with Canada, but, you know, it takes all kinds, and it really represents something much larger than the president himself. If anyone needs a refresher, QAnon is a giant, you know, mimetic ball of conspiracy, meme, internet vitriol, fake news, shared collective psychosis involving a cabal of pedophilic cannibals out to wreak all kinds of hellish chaos and unleash, you know, demonic presences upon the globe, all for the purposes of damaging or, you know, killing in some way or discrediting Donald Trump, who they kind of cast as their almost like messiah. Q being sort of a central figure, a lot of their information took place in these drops, you know, these Q drops or whatever, and still unclear as to who Q actually was. Every time I bring this up, I always reference our buddy Jake Hanrahan's incredible podcast, Q Clearance, which I believe there are two full seasons of now on the iHeart Podcast Network. Really, really great stuff. But this is, like I said, this is a Canadian twist on it. So in Canada, there is a QAnon influencer, I guess you could call her, who claims that she is the, quote, true queen of Canada. Her name is Romano Didulo, I believe. She is, in fact, not a native born Canadian. She is a Filipino immigrant based in Victoria, British Columbia. Her exact age isn't known, but she is probably from you know, the look of this person somewhere in her 50s to early 60s, someone who there is very little, if any, public information about, not social media presence, not, you know, LinkedIn profile or anything like that. Until that is, this person kind of really just rocketed into the stratosphere of Trump-related QAnon conspiracy movements over there in Canada. We already know what that's all about. And this is just one of many ways of you know, kind of spreading the gospel of this thing, because it is political in nature. I mean, it's about, you know, supporting that type of politics that Trump was all about. But it goes deeper than that. It really, you know, the politics is just kind of an excuse to really do some serious, you know, internet rabbit holing. This person, Romana, who has around 70,000 followers on Telegram, which is their social media platform of choice, which is an encrypted kind of peer-to-peer. Well, it's like a, you know, it's like WhatsApp or any, you know, chat kind of app, but it is encrypted. So it is something that a lot of folks that maybe don't want to be broadcasting things out to a wider audience, that want to have their things a little more focused, you know, to specific people with specific interests who they know are quote unquote safe. For example, like whether it be black market kind of things or drug dealing, potentially, that's something that Telegram could be very useful for. You're only going to have people on your channel that you've allowed in and that you have vetted to some degree or another. You know, obviously that's going to results may vary. With 70,000 followers on Telegram, so the whole sovereign queen of Canada thing is sort of the big rallying point. So as part of that, Romana made quite a few decrees, royal decrees, some of which about all kinds of different stuff. Like one of them was about, you know, making critical race theory illegal in Canada. And again, these are decrees. So this is a person that's claiming to have sovereignty over Canada. And these are royal decrees saying that this is law. So anyone that follows her and believes this, you know, idea that she is secretly controlling all of Canada from behind the scenes, takes these as proclamations of real things. These aren't just like, you know, the 95 theses or whatever. This is law. I decree this. So like I said, one of them, pointing to the politics, is about critical race theory and it being illegal. And then a certain section of the decrees cover utilities. Mm-hmm. Which is a little weird, right? That doesn't sound very sexy up front, but it specifically covers utilities. So Decree 24 claims that electricity in Canada is now free, and Decree number 15 abolishes the income tax. Decree number 23 makes water bills illegal. And then I believe number 79 pertains to housing costs and the price of propane and reduces those to levels not seen since 1955. Ben, yeah.
You can see your Telegram, by the way.
You can.
I've been reading.
Really?
It.
Yeah. Okay, some Telegrams are public and some are invite only, right? I mean, that is one. So why even use Telegram then? I don't understand.
Well, this in this case, these are statements that she's just making publicly, but they're also encrypted group chats where you could plan stuff like doing a freedom convoy, for instance. So that's the value add for Telegram. And we are fans of encrypted communication. I think it's important. But if you read this, this is how I learned that I think she declared herself the Queen of Canada in January, I want to say. And Noel, didn't she also get, before this other statement, didn't she also get in trouble with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police on some previous stuff?
You know, Ben, I don't know if I saw that in the article that I was working from. So why don't you give us the rundown on those, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I believe it was December of last year, I want to say, that she was taken into custody due to what the government portrayed as threats against healthcare workers, that she was telling her 70,000+ followers to shoot healthcare workers. And I think she was in Victoria when she was served with a search warrant, and she was detained, interestingly enough, under British Columbia's Mental Health Act.
Holy cow, Ben. I didn't find that source, and it wasn't covered in the two articles that I looked at. This seems to have tendrils that reach farther than I even realized. Where did you find that bit of information?
That is at globalnews.ca, which I think is often a solid source. So I want to shout out Andrew Russell and Stuart Bell for their article, Self-Declared Queen of Canada, Detained by RCMP After Alleged Threats to Healthcare Workers.
Well, well done. That's definitely the inside scoop, because that's a really great source for right there in Canada. But here's the real rub, right? So, you know, 70,000 followers, not massive. She's apparently on like a RV tour of Canada, and like doing it like, you know, literally in an RV. And she's got an entourage that she brings with her. Very intense looking woman, by the way. She's very small. Her videos are kind of soft-spoken, but in this image I'm seeing where she's at like a mall, kind of flanked by some of her followers, she's like wearing a white hat, and all of the guys around her are too. I don't know if this is like a part of her uniform or something, sort of like Trump's, you know, red hat or whatever, but wearing a very intense scarf and just has like a real kind of steely gaze and is wearing these like mirrored kind of like, what do you call those, aviator sunglasses. So purportedly these events are drawing in the tens of people, you know, dozens, but consistently, you know, everywhere she goes. So, but here's the thing. These decrees, the ones specifically relating to paying your bills, people are listening to them and like not paying their bills. And then they're surprised when their water or power or credit, you know, are revoked, or, you know, they get collections taken out on them. And there's apparently, you know, a lot of the chatter, which you've probably been watching, Ben, on that Telegram, has sort of reverted or turned back more towards, hey, Queen, I did what you said, and I didn't pay my bills and all of that. Right. Like, when are they going to turn the power back on? Some followers are like joining back in, saying, "Yay, we got your back." So here's one from Vice: Joanna's power and water supply have been turned off. Can a bunch of "We the People," which is how they refer to themselves, call and email her power company to inform them of the new laws, decrees, and let them know they are committing criminal offenses against "We the People"? Another woman wrote on the message board, if you supply the utility company's email address and your full name, I'll try to do whatever I can to get your utilities put back on. And Romana, has responded by saying those sending the bills are robots.
Right.
So there's a lot of pushback against people that are paying their bills, saying that you're part of the problem, you're not recognizing, you know, our leaders' sovereignty and all of this stuff. And it's just fascinating. Here, one more. I stopped paying Hydro 3 months ago. I got phone reminders, a reminder by mail, and an actual person called my husband. He does not follow QR code, and he was not pleased. Told me to pay the Hydro bill. I want to help collapse the government, not my marriage. So I paid.
QR code is Queen Romana, by the way.
Excuse me. That's, excuse right? me. Yeah.
Put some respect on it.
No, it's true, though. Nailed it.
It's true, man. I just want to pause because I want to ask our fellow Canadian conspiracy realists in the audience today, are you all aware of this person? Because I know here, south of the border, this is not someone who's super familiar with a lot of us, though I'm sure there are some U.S. followers. I believe the majority are Canadian in nationality. And if you check out that Global News article, she issues a lot of, it's always in the same format. She issues things like, let's say, to the attention of blah, 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 blah. And her, and then she outlines, it's almost like a listed manifesto, like you were describing with power bills and utilities. She was saying this with COVID-19 or vaccination stuff. So it's definitely related to QAnon, and it's kind of, I think, become its own thing. So I'd just be very interested in any of us in the audience today giving a personal account from Canada about this. Like, had you heard of this before this Vice article?
No. No, not at all. I heard about it initially from the internet today, YouTube channel I was talking about that I love, and then followed up on the Vice article and then found another one on Yahoo and wish I'd found the one that you'd found, Ben. And that's super helpful. And I'll have to read up some more. But I mean, it's like it's a scam. But to what end? Like, is this woman herself a true believer in what she's saying? Is she actively out to hurt people? Because, I mean, you know, you're going to have marginalized people, maybe lower education, people that are poorer or older who maybe are more easily taken in by this kind of, I'm not trying to say anybody's stupid, but I mean, come on. You know, it's like, sure, the idea that she's saying is like, you know, I'm in control, or like, you know, we can be free. We don't have to. Yeah, you absolutely can, but you should not expect that those government services are going to continue. You know, anybody has the right to live off the grid, but you don't have the right to get free everything from the government. And yeah, is it kind of messed up that we have to pay for natural resources like water that someone who lives off the grid could just drink from a stream? It's a little, you know, dystopian. Yeah, but it's also, you could also get poisoned from drinking from a stream. So I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know where the middle ground is, you know. You just carry around a life straw and just drink from puddles. But you can definitely, it's your prerogative to not pay your bills, but you also need to understand what the outcome is going to be. So this is like she's selling this vision of freedom and autonomy, but it's a bill of goods because the thing that she's selling is not hers to sell, right?
Yeah. There's also, I mean, there's also merch like you would find with any political campaign. I'm not going to give the specific link on air, but I am going to put it in the chat. Doc Knoll, if you guys want to get a hat, a sweatshirt, a flag. It is weird, though, because I was thinking about historical precedent, and basically anybody can declare themselves royalty, right? The way you become royalty is other people agreeing with you. As a Commonwealth country, though, Canada's sort of already spoken for when it comes to monarchies.
Right.
So I don't know, yeah. But it just, I mean, there's a great point in the Vice article you raise by Mac Lamoureux that says, where someone says, hey, it's intoxicating. There's like, maybe you're hard up because the economy stinks for so many people. And you get this voice that's saying some stuff you already agree with. And it's further saying, you don't have to pay these bills, right? You are privy to knowledge that the rest of the world has had hidden from them. So stick with me and I'll solve this problem for you. And people do seem to believe in this idea because, like you said, they're sending letters that say, hey, the queen says you can't do this, which must be kind of a hoot, honestly, to the utility companies.
I mean, I'm sure it breaks up the monotony of what working for a utility company and bill processing must be like on an everyday basis. But again, to the detriment of these people who are potentially, think about that. Let's talk about credit cards. Let's talk about not paying your credit cards. You know, that'll have far-reaching consequences in terms of like causing your credit score to plummet or potentially collections being put out. Things that can affect your life. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, we wouldn't all love to figure out how to live off the grid and not have to worry about all these things. They're things that stress everybody out and seem very superfluous and mean-spirited and not really designed for us, more designed to, you know, get things from us under the guise of being necessary to live. But if enough people participate in it, it's not really a guise, is it? It's like you kind of have to. If enough people use cell phones and you're the only one that chooses not to, it's your choice, but you're going to lose out on certain communications. People are going to treat you different. You might not know when people's parties are happening, you know, and you're going to ultimately be isolated. And that's your choice. But, you know, it depends on what you want out of life. I don't know. It sucks to even talk about because I'm like, all of these things are tiresome and stressful. And I'd love to just be able to just say, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to pay anymore. But I know what kind of avalanche that would cause. And like it or not, we're bought in to some degree or another. Well, Ben, we've got another one coming that you found in Matt's absence since he's adventuring today. And we're going to talk about it. And it's a similarly interesting dystopian kind of being part of the world byproduct type story. So we're going to keep an eye on this story about the Queen of Canada and see where that goes. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back with one more piece of strange news.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. Credit where it's due. This is a story our good pal, Ride or Die, Matt Frederick, found. And although he is adventuring today, he really wanted to share it with you, fellow conspiracy realists. At the height of the pandemic, COVID infected all sorts of people from all sorts of industries and caused hundreds of those who were infected to die. The meat industry was no exception here. You know, think of everything from like Tyson to a meat packing plant if you live in that, in a part of the world with a big industry like that. And as it turns out, Congress has looked into this. I know it's going to surprise the heck out of everybody to learn that Congress does stuff, but Congress looked into this through their House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis. It launched a probe last year in February into the COVID response of meatpacking industry officials. And what they found is pretty unclean. They said that the industry kind of created a panic about the nation being on the brink of a meat shortage. And they also said that meat packing companies were collaborating with corrupt political appointees at the USDA to force workers to remain on the job, despite the fact that they were definitely going to get COVID by doing so. Matt, you specifically popped in a great article on CNN. Coronavirus Committee says meat companies lied about impending shortage and put workers at risk. So shout out to the journalists, Parja Kavalanans and Danielle Weiner-Bronner. This is not surprising to me, I hate to say, because the meatpacking industry often doesn't have a great reputation, right? Like, Noel, in Augusta.
Yeah, ever since, like, the jungle, so great.
They earned it. I know that in a lot of more rural areas of Georgia, you see tons of chicken farms and stuff like that. There's a lot of livestock in the Southeast. There's even more out in, you know, cattle country. And often the workers who process this livestock are left in a terrible position. Like workers' rights or OSHA stuff can go out the window. We know that these workers were regularly doing long, long shifts, lots of hours in very crowded workspaces. That's why meat plants, pretty shortly after the big COVID outbreaks, became a hotbed for infection. And this is something that's been reported on since, you know, 2020. It's not the newest of news.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I've lived in parts of the country around meatpacking plants or in the vicinity, and it's sort of a NIMBY thing, that old not in my backyard problem. They end up being in maybe sometimes marginalized communities who don't have the level of autonomy and control to be able to decide, you know, what businesses are going to, you know, to rally support to not have them come there, or to decide where they want to live because of housing costs. I mean, certainly that was the case with me. I lived in Athens, Georgia, near a Tyson chicken plant, actually, and it smelled horrible. It was not the best place to live. It created a lot of jobs, but it was also apparently a really harsh place to work. So the investigation in this case is actually centered on Tyson, in addition to Smithfield, JBS USA, and Cargill, along with the National Beef Company. And the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, has been conducting this investigation relating to worker illnesses. And a lot of meat plants have in the past, or since the onset of the pandemic, become a hotbed, let's just say, of outbreaks for the virus, the COVID-19 virus, because of a lot of things. It's, you know, it's easy for, there's already a lot of germs in these types of places. There are a lot of, like, you know, bacteria and things. The conditions of, you know, moistness and heat and things like that are kind of rife for this kind of thing to flourish. There also can be very crowded conditions, not the most, not a lot of personal space. And they, if I'm not mistaken, Ben, I mean, it wasn't like these were probably some of the last places to shut down, because I believe they had the distinction of being considered like needed or necessary, or what's the word? Like, there was a word for it.
Essential. Like essential work.
Essential workers, right? Like same with grocery stores and things. I mean, I know they shut down parts of grocery stores. They probably weren't having as many folks in the butcher department or the meat department, but they definitely didn't shut them down. And if I'm not mistaken, some of these fell under that distinction as well.
Yeah, let's take a case. This is something that the investigation found. Let's take the case of the meat producer JBS USA. It was one of those five that really got focused on. Their report found an email sent in April of 2020 from a doctor at a hospital near a JBS facility in Cactus, Texas. And what this doctor says is not nuanced at all. This doctor got so worried that they emailed the people running the plant and said, look, 100% of all the COVID-19 patients we have in this hospital now are either direct employees of you or family members of your employees. And they went on to say in this email, your employees will get sick and may die if this factory continues to be open. This series of emails also made it to the governor, who reached out to this company, JBS USA, but we don't know whether JBS ever responded. They certainly didn't respond to this direct address about like, hey, did this doctor tell you literally everybody in the hospital is getting COVID from your building and you just sort of fiddle-dee-deed your way into hell? They didn't respond to that. And this is where...
No. Definitely fiddled their way to hell. That's the devil, you know.
Guy loves fiddles.
Devil went down to Georgia.
Guy loves fiddles.
He loves fiddles, especially golden ones. It's accurate. But I want to say I was looking just to confirm what I suspected was true, and I know what you know to be true, having looked into this article already. But it is, in fact, the case, and there's an article that comes up on The Guardian called The Disposable U.S. Workforce Life as an Essential Meatpacking Plant Worker, and the subhead is workers are still waiting for reforms to an industry in which 60,000 got COVID and nearly 300 died. Ooh. And this is just from, like, late last year.
Yeah. And there was another thing. A lot of stuff was happening in April of 2020. The CEOs of Smithfield, Tyson, JBS, and a couple other companies went to the cabinet of the White House at the time, and as well as the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, and they put some pressure on there, some backdoor pressure, and they different phrase. Yeah, that different sounds, phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, what a day. They put some behind-the-scenes pressure on Sonny Perdue to, quote, elevate the need for messaging about the importance of our workforce staying at work to the POTUS, President of the United States, or VP level. And then they said, we need to make it clear that, quote, being afraid of COVID-19 is not a reason to quit your job, and you're not eligible for unemployment if you do that. Like, they wanted to keep these people working, even though there was, to shout out Harrison Ford, there was clear and present danger in doing so. He was in that movie, right? Clear and Present Danger?
That was a rash of movies around
like
that time. I don't think he wasn't the president in Clear and Present Danger, but he was the president in Air Force mm-hmm. One, which is the one where he says, get off my plane, spoiler alert, and then throws the terrorist out the airlock. That's not what they're called on a plane, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's a secret
agent. And then he was
in Clear and Present Danger.
He's a secret agent in this one. He might actually be the same dude in that one that he was in Patriot Games. I think that's actually like a twofer based on like a Tom Clancy character. But that was like all around the same time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Harrison Ford aside, there was Clear and Present Danger, not the 1994 film. Two people who were working here, and a lot of these folks, due to their economic circumstances, had no recourse. They had... their family was depending on them to work at these places, even if doing so was essentially the same as being forced to play a lottery where the dubious grand prize is death of you or a loved one. And the USDA later turned on itself and they said, in response to this report, they said, quote, many of the decisions made by the previous administration are not in line with our values. The administration is committed to food safety, the viability of the meat and poultry sector, and working with our partners across the government to protect workers and ensure their health and safety is given the priority it deserves. This is where we leave it now. We do know that eventually meat suppliers did shut down their plants in 2020.
After the kind of pressure that you just couldn't ignore. Not only that, I mean, it was just like, you didn't want to be on that side of history. Nobody did. Yeah, it was like, even when they later, you know, a lot of folks were like, oh, that was overreacting. It became a political thing. There was a moment during the pandemic where it was like, yeah, they turned the ice skating rink at Rockefeller Center into a, you know, open grave, like for refrigerated, you know, bodies. Like, well, okay, I think we should close our meat plant until we'll take a wait and see approach, you know?
Right. And at this point, we do want to introduce the trade groups and the CEOs representing the meatpacking industry. One of them is the North American Meat Institute, or NAMI. I don't know why. I love an acronym. Anyway, NAMI said the committee's report was partisan and that it distorted the truth about the meat and poultry industry's work to protect employees during the COVID-19 pandemic. They said the committee has done the nation a disservice. They could have tried to learn what the industry did to stop the spread of COVID among meat and poultry workers. Instead, they cherry-picked data to support a narrative that is unrepresentative of the early days of an unprecedented national emergency. So just to put that out there, nobody on the meatpacking side said, oh, yeah, you got us. 2020 was crazy. People instead said the narrative was unfair. So at this point, you know, I think it would be great for us to hear from you if you work in the meatpacking industry in any regard. Would love to hear your firsthand experience about what was going on. Does it sound like this report is on the money? To be clear, what Congress is indicating here via this committee is that the meat industry conspired to chase profits over people. But for their part, the meat industry is saying this is not the case. Do you believe that they are correct in their rebuke of this report, or is the answer somewhere in between? We'd love to hear what you think about this, folks, fellow conspiracy realists. We'd also like to hear if you would put poop in yourself to survive, and if you've ever declared yourself Queen of Canada. Let us know. We try to be easy to find online.
I've once declared myself the king of cartoons. But that was mainly because I just really liked Pee-wee's Playhouse. Did you know that the woman who sings the Pee-wee's Playhouse theme song is Cyndi Lauper?
No, but it tracks to me. That tracks.
It does. But I just always assumed it was, I just never thought, you know, because she's got that funny voice when she talks, that little kind of cartoony, high-pitched voice with that amazing Brooklyn accent, which is totally the voice of the song. But I just never assumed it was her. But, yep, it sure is her. But, yeah, there's a lot of ways to reach us. Give yourself a cool nickname like the King of Cartoons, even if it's taken. There can be more than one King of Cartoons or Queen of Canada. You guys could fight to the death over it. But please don't. We want you all to live. You can reach us on the internet. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show. Or you can give us a telephone call, can't you?
That's right, you can. The power is yours. All you have to do is dial, say it with me, 1-833-STDWYTK. You'll get a message that hopefully is telling you you're in the right place. You'll hear a little beep like so, beep, and then you'll have 3 minutes. They're your own. Go wild, go nuts, go ham. Meatpacking reference. Anyway, what we'd like you to do is give yourself a nickname, a moniker, tell us what's on your mind. Second most important thing, let us know if we can use your name and or message on air. First most important thing, don't feel like you have to censor yourself. If you have links that you're referring to or articles, there's a better way to get in touch with us. Send us an email. We read every single one we get. All you have to do is drop us a good old-fashioned line where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Listen to The Passage now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.